Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Come Along Pond, a Doctor Who discussion podcast with...
You're two very cold and sad best friends.
Okay, so you're probably thinking... Sorry, Dan Renetti, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, hello. Yeah,
hi.
Hello.
Hi,
how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, yeah, not bad, thank you, yeah.
So
that's a fucking lie, I don't want...
So here's the gag. We're both stranded at Cardiff Central. Great Western Railway, you're done. You're actually done.
You're finished.
You're actually finished, like... So we're just going to come in really briefly because we're both sitting next to each other, which is a wonderful thing.
Hello, gorgeous.
Hello, stunning.
Hello.
So while we were stranded, we were like, let's record something for our special mailbag episode.
Mail sack, mailbag,
the bag of bags. Do you know what? It's actually a bit mad. Like, we're both looking at Cardiff Central right now. Like, and our, you know, the train's been cancelled. It's awful, awful situation.
Bus is cancelled.
Yeah, everything.
I'm eating Percy Pigs.
It's all happening. But, and you know, it's really windy. You probably can't even hear this. Might not even use this. Who knows? But if it's in the episode, there you go.
It was one for the outtakes.
One for the outtake. But no, we just thought we would do a really fun little intro while we're just together.
At last.
And actually, funnily enough, to date it just for 2 seconds, we're recording this. The giggle is on right now. The fucking giggle, like the giggle, the third episode, the last special, is literally airing right now. We're not watching it because we are going to wait till we get home, which is God knows when.
Yeah.
Did Donna die? Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Tell us. I mean, don't, because we would have seen it by now, but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah, no, but obviously by the time this comes out, we would have seen the episode and all of that.
Technology.
Technology, timey-wimey. But this is, yeah, no, this is just, we wanted to... Oh, Elliot, you've just dropped your Percy Pig.
I can't believe it. Slander. First my train, then my coach, now my pigs.
They nearly fell on the floor. I just caught them, okay.
Yes, I'm off.
Anyway, I will be having one of these in a minute because I did save them all.
She's taken the bag off
me. I've taken the fucking bag off you. Anyway, we hope you enjoy this episode. Fun times.
Yeah, enjoy. I'll have a good old rummage in my sack.
And Great Western Railway, you're fucking finished, like I said. You're actually finished. You're done. Oh my God, whoa, we're back.
Whoa.
Back in the studio. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We don't have a studio. Girl.
23,000 steps, a train and an Uber later and we're home.
Oh my God, guys, it was at Great Western Rail. You are finished. You are actually done. You are done. I'm getting some compensation for that, though, so that's good. Anyway. Oh, babe, how have you been since I last saw you?
There has been a sort of void in my life that I've been unable to fill.
Do you know what I mean? No, but do you know what I mean? Oh, man. Man!
Yeah, because it was so nice.
It was so lovely just to, you know, Cap took Cardiff. We took Cardiff and we, you know, we did it. We did it and it was so fun. If you want to see our Cardiff adventures, go on our Instagram, Come Along Pond Podcast. It's pinned to our profile because you know what? We're cute as hell. We're so cute.
You can see our photos, you know, no filmed accompaniments because, you know, unlike some people, we're not stood there vlogging.
Yeah. We ain't vloggers. That's something we're definitely not. At all.
I got a sonic screwdriver in Forbidden Planet.
You did. Yeah. You bought the 40th Doctor's. Yeah.
I did, yeah. I had my Doctor Who tote bag and my Doctor Who shirt on, just in case we didn't look gay enough.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Dan were focused on having just a nice fit on for the day. And I just decided to sort of, you know, go sort of branded. And I looked awful.
No, you didn't.
My sensible shoes and my anorak on because it was raining. I looked like an 80s dork. It's awful.
Oh, slay, honestly.
But still, also, I tell you, this is something that I was going to say to you just in our personal time. You know, and it's nothing personal, but it's just something I was going to bring up. But I'm going to bring it up now because I feel like the people need to know about.
Okay.
We did not take a photo nor document the fact that we did in fact have and enjoy a Nando's.
We had a Nando's. If you have been listening and watching our Instagram lives, then you know what we're talking about. And if you haven't, shame for shame.
Go back and watch it. Look for
on our Instagram.
Nando's. It's the end of the Wild Blue Yonder episode, but watch both of them because I could get that wrong.
We have Instagram lives from the Star Beast, right after the Star Beast and right after Wild Blue Yonder. So go watch those if you want. They're really fun.
And Nando's, sponsor us, please.
Yeah, Nando's, come on.
The meal we had in Nando's Cardiff, right in the bay.
It was so... This is
one
Nando's,
of the best meals I've ever eaten in my life. Thank you.
Nando's is so good already. But like sometimes sometimes it is just mid and it's just Nando's and it's hitting the spot. But that day, the crispy ice from the ice machine, the halloumi sticks, the fries, it was all coming together really nicely.
It hit different.
It was actually hitting different. But anyway.
Anyway. Yeah.
No, we love. But here's the thing. So you got our Christmas episode and you thought that was our last one. Nay. This is the bonus episode. We wanted to mark the fact that the 60th happened. And I think the audience reception is such an important part of it. And there's been such a mixed bag in a way. Not in our comment section. It's been mainly positive, actually. But we'll get to that. But we just wanted to mark the fact that 60th happened and we have this kind of, not a historical episode, because that's extreme, but like there's this episode where we've kind of documented the public consciousness of the 60th. So we're doing a mailbag, a sack, a tote bag, you know, whatever you want to call it, the Uniqlo shoulder bag, whatever you want to call it. It's a mailbag. We're going to read your thoughts on the 60th. We put a post out on the grid on Instagram. Again, Come Along Pond Podcast, get to know. And we ask you guys to get involved, write a comment on what you thought of the episode. So we're going to read them out today. And I'm really looking forward to it. Looking forward to discuss it.
Roll credits.
Yes. Just get straight into it. Roll credits. Do you know what I mean?
Hello. Didn't see you there. Welcome to Come Along Pond's 60th anniversary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Special mailbag episode. It's Christmas, or Boxing Day, probably when you're listening to this, so if you've had a nice time with the family and you're now relaxing with a cup of hot cocoa, take your hat off, take your scarf off. It's cold outside, but in here it's lovely and warm with the sounds of letters and the fireplace and my warm caramel voice. Anyway, we've got some lovely, lovely opinions and maybe some not so nice ones to read out from you lovely people about what you thought about the 60th anniversary specials. Yes, the episodes on the Star Beast, Wild Blue Yonder, The Giggle, and The Church on Ruby Road will be in your ears in the new year. But for now, sit back with a cup of options, put your feet up, and listen to my sack.
Stunning!
But first, Daniel has the first piece of correspondence. Take it away, my lovely.
So, I have the first comment, and I wanted to read this out because it's short, it's brief, it's something that I think captured all of our hearts. And that is from Hannah, and their username is Hannah Chenny 97. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. And they wrote two words, shooty's thighs. And you know what? Here's the thing. I have something I want to say about this. First of all, a boy went to the gym. Boy went to the gym. Okay, so the thing I want to say about this is this. Cosplayers, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say.
Don't do it.
I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. And I want you to take every single word, every single syllable, every single breath I'm about to bring here. We don't need to see this from anyone. Do not go to conventions with your pants off. Really and truly, I don't care who you are. Keep the pants on. We don't need it. Shooty Gat was allowed to do it because it was on set and it was all, you know, professional environment for television. We don't need to see that in real life. I must stress, I will say it again. Keep your pants on. Please. Please.
I want to say, canonically, the first time I've seen the Doctor's underwear, one, with he wears white, two, someone pointed out to me very helpfully that because of the bioregeneration, you know, they sort of switched clothes, you know, so like Shooty had like the tie and the shirt on, and then Sir David just had like the vest and like the undershirt on. So that means that throughout the rest of the specials, 14 was canonically not wearing any underpants.
Ah. Much well, to think about.
Saving the world, Commando.
Much to ponder upon. But before
come
we go
on, ponder
any further, I just want to say one thing quickly before you read your comment, Elliot.
Blimey, something, come on then.
Something that I like to sneak into the episode now and then is Patreon. We have a Patreon. something that, you know, it is what it is. We need to shout it out because it's a wonderful platform. We have some wonderful people on there. If you'd like to support the show and maybe see our faces. Stay tuned for the new year. Please go over there, patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast. It would be such a great help. We could maybe do this more often. Who knows? Who knows? But just wanted to shout that out. But anyway, Elliot, awful segue that I had there. Read the next comment.
Consider it thoroughly shot.
Yes.
The first comment here is from friend of the show, one of our earliest listeners, James, as I'm going to call him, because I know that that's what he prefers, but his username handle is Richard Purdom 90. And he says, overall, absolutely love them, the specials, I would assume. A proper celebration of the past injected with a boatload of excitement for the future. I always look forward to new Doctor Who, but this is the first time in a while I'm fizzing with excitement for a new series.
I really love that, you know, because I actually feel that. Like, I mean, we've said, haven't we, Elliot? We've said that we are so ready for Shooty now. Like, we've been gagging.
I am so glad that my kind of blind love of him was not met with me going, oh, when I watched the giggle, but instead met with me going, he is already my favourite Doctor.
Yeah.
He's the best Doctor Who there's ever been. Let me have all of him for the rest of time.
He
calls people honey as part of his just lexicon. I'm in love.
And this is the thing, like we said, we're going to talk about the specials in the new year, but the episodes to come. And I don't want to say too much, because in the giggle, I will go into heavy detail. I will. But literally, I remember when the episode went out and we finally got home after being bloody stranded in Cardiff. Anyway! And I just sent you a voice note and I was like, I'm crying. I'm crying. I'm so glad. You know?
Yeah, because it felt different. Again, not to like go into it too much, but it felt different from like, you know, oh, when we watch Power of the Doctor or whatever, you know,
it's like.
Oh, who's she actually going to regenerate into, and, you know, what's happening. And it was kind of really like nerve-wracking. This was nerve-wracking for a different reason. It's like, you know, I really, really want Shooty to be as good as I want him to be. And, you know, that first brief appearance you get in an episode can be a tough one to sell. And, like, I was thoroughly in love.
Yeah, thoroughly.
More than I already was.
All I've been thinking about is literally just him, actually. I don't know what I was going to say. I've just been thinking about Shooty Gatwa all day long.
Just him going, we lost Sarah Jane, can you believe it? And everyone going, oh.
And then mentioning Rose! Rose!
Yeah,
sorry.
I loved her, and Rose. Oh. Anyway.
We're going to be so annoying in the giggle review. Oh my God. No, we are going to be absolutely feral and just annoying. I mean, we're always annoying, but we love it. Anyway.
What's that? Oh, side note. Why am I the toy maker?
What? No, but side note. Why are you the toy maker? And also, side note, I have not got Spice out. I've been struggling because Spice Up Your Life has just been stuck in my head.
Yeah, same.
Like, seriously, it's a
problem. Not even a song that I like, but it was good in that.
It was so... Neil Patrick Harris really did the thing. Neil Patrick Harris did the thing.
I don't know, I could just see myself doing the sort of, you know, the like, ah, and then a little Amelia Pond found her way over to your TARDIS, and then she died. It's just like, you know, oh, actually, she died of old age. Well, that's all right then.
That's all right then. It is raining, is it not? It was raining this morning and I was talking to my partner and I was like, it is raining, and he was already like, I've had enough, I'm so tired.
there's a lot of people keep making more of those and they're really funny.
I just give us more. Anyway, I've got another comment here from Loza Marie 123 and they say, honestly, I really love the giggle for the most part. It was wonderfully whimsical and creepy all at the same time. I think it was the best special out of the three. I know that this isn't going to be a popular opinion, but I'm on the fence for how I feel about the bi-regeneration. Or bi-generation. We're going controversial already, Loza. Oh my God. Ooh. It's lovely they gave Tennant a good ending for once, but I wish it didn't feel so abrupt and out of place. I was hoping for a traditional regeneration where we could say farewell to Tennant as the 14th Doctor. It doesn't sit right with me that there's now more than one version of Tennant's incarnation running around, because we also have the Metacrisis as well. In parentheses, I love Metacrisis, don't get me wrong. Despite all that, I'm excited to see Shooty as the Doctor. Now! That's some fucking tea right there.
I mean, again, full review for the Google out in the new year. I don't, it does not, it does not vex me. It does not consume much of my mind because I don't really, you know, care. Same. But I didn't like the bi generation, just because. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lack of mature storytelling in sort of not letting him have a happy ending by also kind of giving up his face like sort of previous doctors, and every doctor kind of just exists on a, like, that's why I'm in two minds about it, because I think, you know, you could have just had a really you could have had a naturally nice happy ending where we still get a traditional regeneration. Alternatively, though, every doctor does just exist on a floating timeline where they're brought back out of convenience. So the fact that there's one just like living on contemporary Earth with the TARDIS, that's fine. If they ever need to bring them back, they just fucking do that all the time anyway. Like, you know, how many times is the second doctor just alive randomly at random points? Of the classic series with Jamie, who died canonically. So I don't really care that much because it's a fucking mess anyway. But I was a little disappointed, especially because actually, even though I didn't really wasn't caring that much about the idea of him regenerating, the actual moment where it happened, I was gagged.
I was actually gagged. I was like literally holding onto my partner, like, I'm not ready. And then I was like, oh.
See, whereas I was like, fuck yeah, we got 15 minutes of the episode left that it's going to be helmed by Shooty Gatwa. I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah, it's so with the bi generation. First of all. By generation. I mean, it's giving LGBTQ plus, and it's amazing. I love it. Blah, blah, you know what I'm saying? I really love it, personally.
You guys watch brand new woke Doctor Who. Even the regeneration's bi now. Next season, they're going to have a trans generation. That's why I hear from woke T. Davies.
And you know what? We love to see it. We love to see it. I just, do you know what it is?
Please, no one clip that out of context, please.
No. We're taking the piss out of those sad, fucking, pathetic individuals.
Throwed out!
You know, there's actually a comment at some point about that, but we'll get to it. But anyway, I love the bi-generation, personally. I love everything about it. It made me so happy. I literally nearly pissed myself. I was so happy. and the thing is with the 14th Doctor just being around. Now, here's the thing. I've said this before, and Elliot said it actually. We're both very much like, we don't care. We just enjoy TV. if you've watched Doctor Who Unleashed, you will know that Russell said, the 14th Doctor just kind of parked for now. It means we're getting David Tennant back at some point. Let me hear you, gays. Let me hear you. No, I'm happy, and I don't care.
The least unsurprising news on the planet.
Do you know what I mean? But I love it because it's like he's literally parked for now. Like genuinely, like Russell was like, he's there. Which meant he's coming back in like a few series, which I'm excited for. Don't clown me, Russell. Don't do that to me.
Here is a quick comment from, oh my God, I'm going to have to spell this out and try and, I say Given Lyd, because it's GIVENLYD. They say, my personal favourite was Wild Blue Yonder. It reminded me a lot of Midnight, which I absolutely love. I think Midnight comparisons, I understand where they come from. I think Midnight is like a true, genuine, like, masterstroke of horror. Wild Blue Yonder is like, got a couple of really creepy moments, and then the rest of it's just absolute fucking awesome fever dream. You live your truth. That's absolutely fine. I don't get the Midnight comparisons, but not because I'm like, oh, it's nowhere near as good as Midnight. Darling, I'm having fun. I am loving it, but I don't understand what you mean.
Yeah. I think people compare it to Midnight a lot because it's like, oh, this random entity that we don't know anything about, and we're on this kind of, like, in one location, whatever. I personally also agree with you, Elliot, that it's Midnight-esque, but it's not like Midnight at all because it's Midnight. The reason it's so scary, sorry, I'm not trying to mansplain Midnight to anyone, but like I'm going to. They're stuck in this tiny little like bus, if you want to call it, right? Not a bus, but it's like a little.
It is a bus.
It's a bus. It's a bus. A dome. Sorry.
Fenslaw.
God, we're going to have a field day with that. It's on this little bus. It's in one location, but it's one, literally one location. It's not like, oh, in a corridor in that location. It's in one location. We literally don't see the creature. We don't know any of its motivation. It's just doing its thing. You know, I mean, we know it's repeating what it hears to kind of go back to Earth and kind of take over and like absorb people's life force, whatever. But we don't really know its motivation. Like we leave the episode and we're like, what the fuck is going on? With Wild Blue Yonder, you know what's going on mostly.
Yeah. 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 Like what? Yeah. Wild Blue Yonder, it's sort of. Yeah. Because the other entity is like smart, they can sort of talk to it and kind of actually sort of figure out what's going on. Whereas like Midnight is just the Doctor being like, I got no idea.
Yeah, literally. Exactly. And the Doctor is also incapacitated, like literally for 10 minutes of it. Like the Doctor is not present. Do you know what I mean?
But one of the best shots of the whole entire new series is them standing at the cockpit looking out the edge of the universe.
Oh, yeah. But last thing I'll say on it is that Wild Blue Yonder may or may not be my favourite special. Moving on.
No, it's fine. I need to rewatch them because I don't know.
And that's fine. And you know what? We'll find out together. At the end of the giggle, we'll do a ranking because we always
but
do
I'll
that.
I'll tell you one thing. It's not the Star Beast.
Eek.
Funny.
Squeak.
Take
meep. Meep, meep. Anyway.
But that's a compact laser deluxe. Where were you hiding that?
You really don't want to know, darling. Okay, so next comment is from Greg Cubed. That's funny. I like that. Hi, Greg. Greg says, it makes me excited for the shorter episode count for future seasons. Those three episodes alone gave us a wonderful sort of micro series, and each episode was a total standout for the series. If they can take that overall quality and apply it to each season, I'll be pleased. Now, here's the thing, Greg. First of all, thank you for your comment. I actually am living for that because I think quality is the priority. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what I mean? And sorry. I don't know why I said it like that. Anyway, no, but it is. It is the priority.
It is,
and it's
it
like,
is, it is, it is.
I think having shorter seasons with more packed into each episode, not necessarily lengthwise, but a bit more budget, a bit more, you know, time on it. I wouldn't be mad if a season, obviously we love more Doctor Who, but like we want the quality. And I'm not saying there won't be, but you know what I mean? I wouldn't be mad if there was like a lot of budget and time put into like five episodes in one season or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, genuinely. I'm all for, yeah, you know, because it's still going to be yearly.
Exactly.
Like give me five, but like five great episodes a year rather than, you know, a handful of really good ones and some ugh ones.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, not 100% sure that's what we're going to get. But again, I'm going to save all my opinions for the special episode, so it's fine. But yes, the money was on screen, and when it was on screen, it was still fine. Like, again, we released that TikTok where we were talking about how we like our Doctor Who looking cheap. Like, the giggle looks genuinely amazing and has some really good effects in it, but also you've got the David Tennant puppet, and you've got the bit where the toy maker spins Mel really fast, and it's like the cheapest plug-in effect ever. And I'm like, that's my Doctor Who.
That's my show. Someone on TikTok, there was like a viral TikTok that was like, I love how even Disney behind Doctor Who, it sometimes just still looks not very good. And I'm like, yeah, that's my show. That's my baby. That's my girl, you know? But anyway, yeah, I just thought it was a really interesting comment because I agree with that wholeheartedly, yeah.
And this is from Izzy, no, ACF, don't know how I'm doing any of that, but got a lovely picture of a cat, so absolutely valid. They say, thought they were all brilliant, and David and Catherine were outstanding.
Agreed. I mean, again, if you don't follow us on Instagram and TikTok, you should. I've had a lot of time on my hands, except I haven't, but I've made time. I've been making these little, like, compilations of like the Doctor and Donna from the two episodes, because every time they speak I'm like, ha! Like, it's so funny. Like, I have laughed so much in these specials. It's so wonderful. Like, one of my favorites is, you know nothing, we know everything and you know nothing. And then him just looking at them like, what? And then like, you know, Donna just being like, what? What are you talking about? Shut up. Like, it's just so funny.
I told you, didn't I, that it was no hyperbole that I think Catherine's delivery at the end of the Star Beast with the, oh my God, I did it again.
It's so funny.
Like one of the funniest things that she's ever said in her life.
So in the compilation, when I added that in, because I had 5.1 audio, I was able to isolate the vocals and the effects and just get rid of the music. So you can really get a sense of the way she's saying it and the rhythm. Oh, it's so good. Just, oh my God, I did it again. Also, again, in that compilation, and it's been really underrated, so she's like, I gave away all my money. And it's like, yeah, you did, you stupid woman. You really did.
Watching all three of them again, though, for some reason, has just got slightly... Because there are many great Donna lines.
Yes. Oh,
and,
so
you know,
good.
I love her from Series 4, but you know me, I'm a massive defender of The Runaway Bride.
Yes.
And I think, you know, she's at some of her best in that episode, personally.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I, for some reason, I've had stuck in my head now for about the past 3 days. You know, like the, you know, where am I? The TARDIS. The what?
The TARDIS. The what? The what? Yeah. No, it's the second, the what?
The what?
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you brought that up because it's the way also her face is like, what? What? And it's very reminiscent of when the doctor's like, you've got two hearts. So do I, like to the Meep. And then she's like, you've got what? What? Like Donna insulting 14. And you know what? I've seen some shit online. I mean, what's new? But like people being like, oh, she insults 14 too much. She needs to chill. Like she's being so mean to him. Respectfully, shut up. Because that's how she shows her love, okay? It's Donna. She loves him so much. I literally, that is her best friend. They say so many wonderful things to each other. They show up for each other all the time. If one of your best friends, if you're not sitting there insulting your best friend, like ironically all the time, what are you doing?
Literally every single, like if I'm tired and can't actually formulate a proper response to something that Donna's messaging, I say just the worst thing imaginable.
You really do, yeah.
Because I know it'll make her laugh, yeah. But like, I then, you know, we'll message in the morning or when I'm in a slightly better mood and I'll be like, you know, no, actually that thing is good. Love you, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, but same.
Know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's the, but you know, okay, it's not quite the equivalent, but you know, everyone being like, oh yeah, insults are too much, and then right at the start of Wild Blue Yonder, he's grabbing her hands and kissing her hands to be like,
oh,
you know,
don't, I love
it's
it.
So tender, you know.
Yeah.
And again, we had the flip side of that of me trying to get you out of Cardiff on Saturday night.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll call you a dickhead, but you know, like when it comes down to it, I will try and look after you if I have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, but that is what friendship is. Like you have that back and forth. Like literally, with some of my friends. I'll literally be like, oh, you make me so fucking ill. You make me, ooh, disgusting, disgusting. And then 2 seconds, I'm like, nah, I love you, babe. I'm joking. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, get over it. Actually, just stop chatting shit. Like, no. Donna is a wonderful, wonderful friend and has shown up for the doctor in so many ways, especially, you know, at the end. But, yeah, anyway. Yeah, no, David and Catherine just firing on all cylinders. Next one of the comments comes from Grace of Aeons, I think that's how I pronounce it. And they say, it's interesting because I've always considered Tennant's Doctor as the one who is the most human, in parentheses, or at least obviously craves and adores ordinary human things the most. So it makes total sense that he's the Doctor who decided to relax for a while and collect his reward. Also, the hug that 15 gave 14 was everything and so healing. Right. Again, there's been discourse online, Elliot, I don't know if you've seen, where it's like, oh my God, what, the erasure of 11, the erasure of 12, the erasure of 13. Right. What are you not understanding about the fact that, I'm sorry, there are just facts in this world. David Tennant is the most popular doctor. That is the facts. What are we still not understanding? The specials are about 14 and Donna. That is the main focus. Tennant is the reason. They've brought him back in the specials, let's face it, because the viewing figures dropped off massively. I'm just saying the facts, right? They went, who's going to bring viewing figures back? Oh, I don't know, maybe the most popular doctor and one of the most beloved actors of the UK, David Tennant and Catherine Tate. Like, literally, I have friends who have not watched it in over 10 years. And because David is back, they have watched every special and have said they're going to watch the new series. It has done its job.
My parents watched all three specials.
You know,
despite leading up to the specials, they were going, you know, like, oh, I don't really care, or like that. But they watched every trailer when it came out, and they watched every single episode, sometimes before I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and they're going to watch, they're going to watch series 14.
Yeah, and it's like, I love 11. I love all the Doctors. I really do. I genuinely actually love all the Doctors. I love 11, love 12, love 13. But you would be naive, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to attack people here, and I'm not trying to say anyone's worse or off or better. I'm not trying to say that. But the truth of the matter is they needed to bring life back to the show and to have a good stepping stone, and that was to bring back the most popular Doctor and to give that Doctor more airtime and more, like, kind of, I guess, perks, if that makes sense. And I don't know. And also, you know, 10 is my favourite Doctor. I know it's 14, but, you know, David Tennant is my favourite Doctor, and seeing him sit there and say, "This is, I've never been this happy in all my life," I was crying. Okay?
Yeah. But also, I don't understand. The point of erasure makes no sense, because the Google goes out of its way to point it out.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens is that, you know, Ten himself has a really emotional climactic ending. He doesn't have time to process it. He regenerates. And then straight away, he's just going, "Oh, cool, bloody hell, fish fingers and custard. Look at me, weird long legs."
Yeah.
And, you know, not that Matt Smith doesn't have some moments of, you know, sort of quiet introspection, but, you know, it's the fact that the show resets itself all the time, you know, we are keeping resetting and keeping moving on to new things. And especially, you know, again, not trying to throw a shade at the other, but especially, you know, 13-0 feels so disconnected from everything else that came before it. And, you know, that she does feel like this complete, almost like a vacuum of a character that hasn't experienced the other things of the Doctor, in my personal opinion. That going into this, I think it's amazing that, you know, he was able to sort of take all that stuff on board as it's the character. And, you know, the literal toy maker, again, I don't want to say you're stupid or that you don't watch media, right? But the literal point of the toy maker showing him the puppets of the companions that have died or the Flux is in service of that moment at the end where he kind of realizes that he just keeps running. You know, it takes into account the other three incarnations in the meantime. You know, just because it's the man with a face you don't like, or because you're a fucking spoilt little hidden away brat, has nothing better to do other than get media service to them. You know what I mean? Like, just fuck off.
like, be happy. It's a nice thing. It's really wonderful. I'm going to save it because I think some of the comments coming up are going to mention this as well. But yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can criticize the thing, it's fine. You don't have to just be happy because Doctor Who's on the air, but also there is a certain level of trying to justify why you don't like something beyond saying you don't like it, where it turns into self-parody. If you don't like it, just say you don't like it, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't go for a long speech about why I don't like a lot of the 13th stuff and why some of the 12th stuff and why a lot of Moffat stuff doesn't work for me. I just don't like it.
Yeah, and don't sit there and spout incorrect facts because it's just embarrassing. No, sorry, guys, we're in our feels. Like, let 10 rest and have a hot girl time. Like, come on, come on.
Well, the moment for me in that scene that got me was when Mel turned up.
Oh, my God. Mad Auntie Mel. Ah! No, stop. We have to stop. We need to save it.
It just seems like
save
what
it,
Bonnie Langford would be like at a barbecue.
I know, I love Bonnie Langford. But anyway, save it.
Yeah. Also, just for you, some people were getting upset that Wilf was shooting moles. Because they say it's a very out of character thing for him to do, and they feel like it's disrespectful to Bernard Cribbins. The reason that was added to the scene is because it's something that Bernard Cribbins himself used to do. It's a tribute to him as a man. Instead of it just being a generic, you know, oh, he's off fishing, this is something that he used to do as a hobby. Wouldn't that
be bored.
Nice?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm bored of these comments now. Do you know what I mean? Like, just stop.
Just bored of people pretending like they know Bernard Cribbins better than...
Yeah, than literal people who know him.
Our next comment is from Fliss Riley. Bless Fliss.
Yeah. Hi, Fliss.
And they say, loved the trans representation. People can say it's too on the nose all they like, but everything feels on the nose until it's normalised in mainstream media, which is what RTD is trying to do.
So we've actually both discussed this in our own private time, because here's the thing. I agree with that comment wholeheartedly. Like, personally, like, yes, some of the writing, I'm talking about the writing, I'm not talking about what they're talking about. Do not get it twisted for a single fucking second, because, oh my God. The actual content, the words that were spoken, some of it was a bit clunky. It could have been a little bit better thought out, a little bit more
a bit more depth put in there. But I completely agree with the fact that something sometimes just needs to be said how it is, and it needs to be brought to our screens. It needs to be shown to us as an audience, because unfortunately we still have a cesspit of fucking dickheads who are just horrid, and they don't want to see anything outside of their own experience. They, you know, just a horrible transphobic, you know, discriminatory bastards. And I don't care if you're one of those people and you're getting offended by what I say, and, you know, whatever, like, we've had, you know, transphobic comments in our DMs, whatever, quite frankly, get the fuck expeditiously get off of this podcast, because there is no place for you here.
Send us another DM, I dare you. I'll tell you how you'll die alone again.
No, okay, sorry, can I actually mention this to the audience, because I really just want to, like, flex you for a second. So somebody actually had the gall, gal and gumption to come onto our DMs because we shared something about, you know, trans women being women. It was just this lovely bit of art that I shared on our story. And this person came and was like, no, they're not. Like, oh, imagine having brain cells. And then Elliot literally went in, said something along the lines of, like, you know, when you're old, sad and dying alone, you know, there'll be no one there because you're just vile.
And, you know, fair play. They did. They stuck firmly to their beliefs, but, you know, it was worth a shot.
Like, there are people in this fandom and in the world, but we're talking about the fandom here because we don't have time to talk about the world and this country and whatever. But, like, you know, like, this same person who came into our DMs was saying that, like, you know, there are a lot of people in this country that agree with me and, you know, that a lot of us feel the same about it. And it's like, no, I know that there's a whole group of you vile, disgusting, ignorant dickheads out there. And quite frankly, what I love is that Russell, yet again, is uplifting voices and people who deserve and haven't had that time to shine. And I think Rose is such a beautiful character that was so needed. And I just know for a fact that there are so many people, like young, especially the young trans youth, watching Doctor Who. They use it as an escape. And they're going to look at Rose. They're going to look at Yasmin Finney and just go, there I am. I'm there. There I am. I feel seen. And it's so beautiful because she's just this angelic, realistic and human person, but angelic, you know, superhero that's just amazing. And she, you know, she travels in the TARDIS. Oh, it's so wonderful. The beauty of her and just the trans joy and the queer joy, all of it in just, oh, someone shut me up. Ah, sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna shut up. Sorry, I just love it so much. Sorry,
but you know, it's a well-meaning cis man, you know, maybe clunkily doing something, and that's fine. And again, I'm not going to speak for an entire community, you know, because that's not my place. But you know, the last two things I'll add is, you know, every single trans friend that I have who watched it was in floods of tears, just over, you know, just having that amount of representation on primetime TV. And secondly, we can talk about, you know, if it's awkward or whatever. But, you know, just the fact that the TV show Doctor Who acknowledges that non-binary people exist, you know, makes me very happy. So
it's a beautiful thing. And I'm going to shut the fuck up because I want to talk about it in the episode. I'm going to have a whole moment. Don't you worry. But yeah, so I completely agree with that wholeheartedly with that comment. Anyway, another comment from Batsy Doodle Art. And they say, my brain is just like everybody lives. The special really went well together. And when I tell you, when 14 started to regenerate, tears were happening. But then he didn't leave. And I was like, Russell, my emotions have been played. Ouch. But anyway, loved by Generation and how much of Shooty we got. He is going to be fantastic as the Doctor. And I'm more thrilled for what's to come. Absolutely, yes. I mean, we've already kind of touched it, so I won't, you know, dwell on it too much. But like, Russell really played with our emotions. Because I remember in the episode when 14 was, you know, shot with the big laser gun thing. I forget the name. Forgive me. But I was like, we literally have like 15, 20 minutes left. What the hell? He's leaving so soon. I'm not ready. Like, because I was ready for Shooty, like I said. I wasn't like getting upset that I was saying bye to David because I did my mourning years ago in 2009. I did it. I lived it. I mourned him already. But like, I was so emotional. And like, you know, he said, Alonzi is his final word. And I was like, oh, we love growth. We love it. And then that happened. And I was like, oh, oh. But yeah, we already discussed all the rest of it.
Cool. Did David say, here we go again?
Here we go again, Alonzi.
See, I just suddenly twigged in my head that, of course, that's a reference, isn't it? Silly me. Well, it's what the Brigadier says as poetry regenerates. Well, here we go again.
Here we go again.
Rockwell Knuckles says, the fact that he is out there still going makes me smile, along with Mel, Jenny, Grandad, I assume maybe Wilf, Martha, and Mickey, to a lesser extent. For once, everybody lives.
It is so nice, isn't it, that we have that happy ending of like, because we know Martha's out there, we know Mickey's out there, unfortunately. You know, it again, it's adding to that really short list, but I'm glad the list exists, of people who made it out and like are living their best lives. And, you know, we'll talk about Donna, the whole Donna thing when we went in the Star Beast. I really want to save it for that episode because there's a lot to discuss with her remembering and all of that, and I really don't want to say it here. But, you know, I think that garden scene actually had me crying. Like, I was crying, and like literally, because when it happened, my partner looked over to me and just was like, she's gonna cry. And I looked over and I was just like, I literally went, like, I was so happy, because you can see that David in that scene, I don't know what you think, Elliot, but I feel like David in that scene was also getting emotional because of how much he cares about the character.
Yeah, yeah. Or he's just really good at acting. I can't tell.
No, he is good at acting, but I just feel like I can just, I don't know, I just felt that. And like, it's just love. It is lovely. And they're having a meal. They're having a meal. Cauliflower cheese and beef that is supposed to be vegan, but it's actually beef and actual whatever it is. I don't fucking know. But, you know, and 14 has already taken Rose on a mini adventure, you know, a secret one, and Mel, and oh my God, it's so wholesome. It's wonderful. And we need a bit of happiness right now. And it's just lovely. Anyway, so next comment is from Hidden Druid, and they say, it was so special to me to see the Doctor be so vulnerable during these specials. The fact that he is so open about his love for Donna and Kate and Wilf. Not to mention I already love that Shooty's Doctor is so comforting and loving. Like, the Doctor really needed that hug from himself. But seriously, these episodes felt like therapy, low-key. Oh my God, the truth. I did not hear a single lie in that comment. Something that I loved about 14... And Elliot, you tell me if you like this as well. The 10th Doctor was needed therapy. Girl, she needed to get those feelings out, and she was having some issues. 14, like, I loved in the Star Beast when he was like, with Donna, you know, I love her. And he goes, oh, that's the thing I do now. Okay, I'm open about my emotions. And again, it's that comment of like, and I know it's like, a kind of an old comment, but it's still very, very relevant, you know, today. Like, men do just struggle talking about their emotions a lot of the time, and it's a big thing. Like, it's a really, really important thing it's a really important topic. And I just love, like, you know, Sarah Jane, I loved her, you know, just everything. Yeah, I love that. And yeah, the little hug between 14 and 15 felt odd at first, but then I was like, actually, this is really therapeutic, and it's actually kind of emosh, because if I could like meet my younger self and hug my younger self, oh my God, I would hug her so tight. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So wholesome. What do you think about it?
Yeah, you know, I think especially 11 and 12, especially, are quite emotionally stunted.
Yes, they are.
They don't open up about their feelings. And I mean, fuck me, trying to get emotion out of 13 in regards to Yaz was like getting blood out of stone.
Yeah, literally, literally.
And when we did get it felt quite unearned.
Yeah.
So I think it's nice. And it's just beautiful. It's just a rare opportunity. You know, you only get doctors being able to talk to other doctors in incredibly rare moments. And it felt kind of like, you know, for me, it felt like sort of war and sort of 11 and 10 kind of forgiving each other for the time war.
Yeah.
But like, just in regards to just how he is in the series in general. So yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I just thought it was really tender and it was nice to hear all the references. It was just a little tender moment. Again, to me, made better by the fact if he had then decided to not carry on living. But that's a side issue.
Agreed, like, there's something I want to circle back to really quickly, just like that comment about 11 and 12, especially being quite emotionally stunted. I mean, 11 is literally like the toddler doctor, like some people call him. You know, he is the childlike fairy tale figure because he refuses to look back. He's just moving on. He's excited by new things and doesn't want to acknowledge anything that's really happened. And I think, Matt's beautiful acting in some episodes is just really, really showcases that, like, you know. And I think that's why it's nice to, again, like I said earlier, it's nice to have that. It makes sense for 10 to be the one to rest, but even though the doctor is the same person, like, imagine knowing the show. I think having a familiar face that we've all watched for so long and come back, and also processing that emotion all in that one incarnation, I think is really interesting. But yeah, again, it's just a weird comment of like, oh, you know, why does he have to rest? Why is it 10? And it's like, because the doctor's the same person. The doctor is one person. Hello?
And also because...
is anyone at home?
And also as well, I hate to burst everybody's bubble, it's a TV show. And it means that what happened was that Stephen Moffat didn't write that, but Russell T Davies did.
I love how every time
we
address stuff, most of the time we just go, it is fictional. If you didn't know that, we are telling
that's
you.
That's why it wasn't 11 and 12, because that wasn't thought about when they were the doctors.
So, yeah, literally. Literally. Yeah. Anyway, we move. We keep it moving and grooving.
Okay. The final piece of mail is from, I'm going to spell, you know, but then I'm going to say how I think it should be said. And then if it's not, I'm very, very, very sorry. But, you know, it is an Instagram handle, and if it is your name, then I apologise. So, spelled D-I-A-L-E-K-A-K-I-L-E. I'm going to say Dial Kakail.
Dial Kakail.
Because I like the way it sounds, and I'm really, really sorry. If it is your name, I apologise. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just chuckling. Please email in to tell me I'm a piece of shit. Most people do. Anyway, so... Dial Kakail says, we've spent so many years thinking Donna and the Doctor could never meet again, and now that part of us is happy. Speak for yourself. I too have never felt this happy in a long time. RTD did a great job, in my opinion. Well, first of all, I am glad that you're happy. That makes me happy. it sounded really insincere, didn't it? But I mean it.
No,
genuinely,
yeah.
Other people's joy is my joy. I think Russell T Davies did a good job, in my opinion.
Yeah. I actually mentioned this on the Starbeast Live, so if you were there, this is a repeat, but some people were saying, Donna's back and that's wonderful, but like, now we've kind of lost that emotion from Journey's End. And what I say to that is, you are very, very valid in your opinion, and I totally understand and appreciate that, but like I said in that live, I don't care because we have Donna back. I love it so much. And you know, it's just a wonderful thing to see, because the thing is, when you look at all the companion exits, right, in my opinion, the saddest companion exits, and like, you know, I know I find Doomsday really hard to watch, and that's just because of emotional trauma, but for me, if you look at actually what happens to them, Donna and Bill, in my opinion, have the worst outcomes, because Donna loses a whole chunk of her life and memories and all of that growth, and you know, she loses her best friend, And then Bill, you know, dies and gets turned into a Cyberman. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're the two worst ones. And I would do anything for their pain to be reversed because it's just cruel and horrid. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't have happened because, you know, things like bad things happen in life and we need that reflected in our media. But, like, with Donna, I love that we got her back and she got her memories back and all of that stuff that happened. Yeah. It's positivity. Positivity. Okay? Yeah. Live, laugh, love.
Again, our vibe is from the end of time. What are you doing with mum? You know, it's a waste of space. Oh, well, yeah, in my time of life, I'm not going to find anyone better. Don't say that.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that is our vibe.
Do you know what I mean? Literally. Just
sadness followed by Happy New Year.
We are Jackie and Rose. That is what we are on this podcast.
And it's true. In my time of life, I'm not going to find anyone.
No. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And I would look great in those sort of like little denim shorts that Camille Kadouri wears in that scene.
And I would look... No, I wouldn't look good in a beanie. That's a lie. No. Anyway, moving on. Last comment. But before I read the last comment, thank you for everyone who commented on the post. We would have loved to read all of them out, but quite frankly, we don't have 4 hours. So, but thank you for all your comments nonetheless. Continue to comment and get involved in future things. Thank you.
I will say this once and only once because it's Christmas and I might have had a couple too many sherries. I love you all.
Yeah, thank you for the enthusiasm, guys. So our final comment goes as follows, and it's from Jess.45. 2006 American news anchor, need we say more? Literally, I couldn't think of a better comment to end on. I'm so happy.
It was look, you know, I'm not, you know, I'll say a lot about how I'm not, you know, into my random glup shitto cameos and, you know, I don't need people stepping through portals. But that was good.
I love her so much. That's
the only cameo I needed.
What's her name again?
Trinity Wells.
I was literally like Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when he goes, oh, and he like clicks at the screen and points. That was me. I was so happy. Some people were saying that they did her dirty and I'm like, but how? Because she literally, everything she says is correct. She always looks incredible. Everything she does is amazing. Like, what do you mean? I really don't know what that means, but...
She's back for a cameo, but, you know, it's a... You know, she's been affected like the rest of the world, right? That's, you know...
Yeah. She's not immune. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I don't really understand. You know, I also think it's probably a bit of a commentary on sort of American news media, but that's, you know, a side issue. That moment, and also in the Star Beast, having the BBC News report outside the... The steelworks, you know, whatever it was. As soon as that came on, I was like, oh, we are so fucking back.
We are back. And then... Obviously, also the hand that appears at the end of the giggle picking up the gold tooth. I literally, Elliot, I was dead. I was like, girl.
Oh my God, he's done it again.
Oh my God, he's done it again. Oh my God.
Like, the geography of that shot makes no sense either, and that's part of why I love it. I think it's amazing.
It's like, where would the hand have come from? Just underneath? Like, climbed. Like, did this person just climb up and just over the edge, just grab the tooth and then,
And now you see, of course, I was conflicted because I assumed at first it was the implication that the toy maker was coming back because he wasn't completely. But of course, he says, doesn't he, that the master is trapped in his gold tooth. So it could be either one of those things. I thought it was just about the toy maker. I assume now it's, you know. I don't think it's an immediate, oh, the master's coming back. I think it's just a funny little moment.
I think, but
there is a lot of fucking building, isn't there? Because even the toy maker's like, you know, yeah, what is it? Your final game with the one who waits.
And it's like, who's that? And it's like, that's not my game to play.
Yeah, fucking Beep is reporting to the boss. There is, Shooty's got some dark people coming.
And you know what? We're ready to see it, aren't we? We are ready to see it.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what I'll be most excited for, because I love Shooty now. Immediately, favourite Doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I being hyperbolic? You'll never know. but I am excited to see him do...
dark stuff.
Dark stuff. Yeah, yes. I want to see... just because his introduction was quite light.
Yes, it was.
As it usually is. But, you know, it's great to know that he's fun and bouncy and he's got that energy. And again, love him calling people honey. But I want to know, you know, what he's like when he's angry or faced with a proper challenge.
Like, let's get to the nit and the grit, you know. Time Lord Victorious energy, please. That would be wonderful. But, yeah, anyway, guys, thank you for joining us today on this bonus episode. Mailbag is being closed. The sack is shut. Get ready for the new year, because honestly, I'm frothing. I need to get to the Star Beast expeditiously. It's gonna all go off. We're gonna go in, because we have all of the episodes, so we can speak about it as a whole thing, which is what we wanted to do. So yeah, anyway, with all that being said, Elliot, take it away, babe, because I can't do things like wrap-ups. I can't speak, so.
So that brings the curtains down on another wonderful episode of the Come Along Pond podcast. I hope you had fun. We sure had a merry time. Hope you had a lovely holidays or happy Christmas, depending on what it was you did. If you like what you heard and you want to support the show on Patreon, you can do so by heading to patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast, just like Daniel said at the top of the episode. Hopefully in the new year we might have something more visual to share with you, so keep an eye out for all the updates over there. But for the moment, I would like to say thank you to Jason and to Lucy for being our bestest of our best friends. However, you can join on any tier you like. No shout out required. Alternatively, if you want to support the show but you don't want to pay a monthly subscription, we do still have a Ko-fi. You could be our first donator over there. That's ko-fi/comealongpondpodcast. You can shout out the price of a cup of coffee, one each or one individually, depending on who your favourite host is. However, you can support the show by emailing in to comealongpondpod@gmail.com. As I'm sure you're aware, we do three mails, and it's like this, but truncated, and there's three of them. So if you have opinions and thoughts and things you want to say, we will eventually read you out on the show. When we can, please. Alternatively, you can support us by visiting our social medias. Now, I know that you found us through TikTok, but tiktok.com/comealongpondpodcast. Oh my God, it's popping up over there. Highlights, lowlights, funny little momos. Damn, those good, funny edits from the specials. They're all over there. Give them a watch. However, you can watch them in a better place. The mystical lands of Instagram. Instagram.com/comealongpondpodcast. Oh my God, over there we have got polls, stories, reels. You could have been in this episode if you commented on the post. You'll know when we're uploading an episode. You'll know when we're not uploading an episode. You can send us DMs. You can see what's going on. You can see photos of us looking hot in Cardiff. Anything you want is on Instagram. There is a crazy amount of people over there now. I mean, like, almost 7,000 people. It's ridiculous. Each and every one of you is loved. Instagram.com/comealongpondpodcast. But with all of that being said, Darren, it's been lovely being joined by you this evening.
It has been absolutely a wonder, a joy, a privilege to do this. Again, thank you all for commenting. Yeah, thank you to you guys for being part of the episode. Thank you to you for joining us and being part of this.
And incidentally, a very Merry Christmas to all of you at home as well.
And we give you air from our lungs. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take
Bye-bye
care.
Bye-bye now. Fenn's Law. Fenn's Law.
It was the day after Christmas, and all through the family, no one knew how to say Merry Christmas, not even my co-host, Damler. Good night. God bless.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.